Your name?
My name is Greg Smith.
It's a cold, rainy day, standing outside on the ICC, Intercounty Connector, an issue you've spent several years working on, Greg Smith. You're holding some signs. Talk about your feelings today.
Well, I think this is a really sad day for Maryland. I think it's a sad day for Martin O'Malley. It's really sad. It's pathetic that Martin O'Malley would put his political ambitions ahead of public health and the environment and the facts and the fiscal soundness of the state. We're standing on the intercounty congestor, the intercounty clear cut, the intercounty climate crime, just about 150 yards from the North Branch of Rock Creek. And the North Branch of Rock Creek flows into Rock Creek, which flows through the district. And it had been one of the healthiest streams in the entire region. It rivaled the Upper Paint Branch, which is also been recognized widely as one of the healthiest streams in the entire D.C. region. And people who live in Washington and who live downstream of here should understand that Martin O'Malley has carved up some of the healthiest watersheds in the region, and all these other folks live downstream. And O'Malley has stood at the podium and declared his intent to restore the Anacostia and the Bay. And here he is, he's destroying the headwaters of these streams. You can't save the Bay and pave the watershed at the same time. And O'Malley is blowing $3 billion on an interstate highway that every study since the 1990s has shown will not relieve congestion to any appreciable degree, will increase congestion on major commuter routes. And that money should have gone toward public transit. It should have gone toward making our roads and bridges safer. It should have gone to bicycle and pedestrian access. I mean, Metro is falling apart. Every week we hear a story about something going on with Metro. And instead of investing in public transit, O'Malley is taking money out of the Maryland's general fund, which should be funding our schools and our public safety and our environmental stewardship, and instead pushing it, blowing it on this highway. Most of the money that he's putting in this highway, he could have invested in transit or road safety or bicycle and pedestrian access. He's issued about $3 billion worth of debt for the ICC. I mean, he's laying off workers, he's cutting positions, he's cutting core programs, and he's blowing money on an interstate highway. Now he's doing this at the same time that climate change is accelerating. Every week we see a new story about climate change causing worse and worse damage and coming on faster than everybody thought it was going to. He's doing this while the Bay, Chesapeake Bay, hangs by a thread. We've invested 25 years attempting to restore the Bay, and we've made almost no progress. And he's doing this at a time that unrest is rocking the Arab world. It's rocking the oil-producing regions of the world because people there can't feed themselves while their nations are exporting oil to the United States to feed our addiction because we've built too many highways and too little transit, and we sprawl outward. And in November of 2010, the International Energy Agency reported that world oil production had peaked in 2006 and that they don't expect it to ever to reach that level again, or it hasn't reached that level again. Oil is going to go into steep decline. It's going to become more expensive, and we're blowing our scarce capital, digging our own grave by building highways like the ICC.
Greg Smith, this morning's Washington Post has an article entitled ICC Still Carries Bumper-to-Bumper Controversies by Catherine Shaver.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to get started, they tell me, in about 2 minutes. So if you can find your seats, please.
And it begins like this. When the first segment of a controversial new highway that will connect Montgomery and Prince George's counties opens Tuesday, Maryland will have built what was once considered impossible in Washington's congested suburbs, a six-lane, multi-billion-dollar toll road across fragile streams a stone's throw from hundreds of homes. The full cost of the intercounty connector will be analyzed for years, the exchange of woodlands for asphalt, the effects on residents along its path, debt payments that could require raising tolls throughout the state.
Actually, it could require. O'Malley is roughly doubling tolls within the next few years to pay for the ICC. People across the state of Maryland, in Baltimore, on the eastern shore, in southern Maryland, anytime they use a state toll facility, they're paying for the ICC. This project has cratered the state's transportation financing. roughly 1 in 5 to 1 in 4 of all the federal transportation dollars that Maryland gets, and its annual appropriation is going towards this project right now. It's an enormous, enormous expense. And this project, this controversy is not going to go away. The finances on this project are probably going to unravel. And most drivers in our region can't afford to use this highway. It truly is a highway for the better off at the expense of those who have less money. Prince George's County should have gotten jobs rather than shoving all the jobs into Montgomery County, in Western Montgomery County along the 270 corridor. Instead of forcing Prince George's County mothers and fathers to continue the longest commute in the region and pay these incredibly high tolls, Governor O'Malley should have focused on getting better development in Prince George's County.
Greg Smith, we might get interrupted as they begin the ceremonies for the opening today. Well, it'll be soon, the opening, but tomorrow or the next day with these ceremonies. But there was police, and they said, are you a protester? They asked me, and they said, there's a line of tape, and you're supposed to stand on the other side. Can you talk about the police presence here and the lack of wanting protesters to say what you feel?
It's an incredible waste of our public resources. We counted the cars on the way in, and the marked cars that we counted, there were 22 marked cars plus motorcycle police, and it's here to control the crowd and to make sure that the public doesn't get to see the banners that we're holding in our hands. They're doing exactly what the Bush administration do, which is try to shuttle the public into little corrals so that there's no other side of the story getting out. All I can guess is that Martin O'Malley, if he has any shame, he's embarrassed by this project. Honestly, if he has a shred of conscience, he has to be embarrassed by his contract. In the more than four years that he's been in office, Martin O'Malley has never come out to these communities and met with the people whose homes he was planning to take, whose communities he was planning to damage and destroy, and explained to them why he thought it was worth it to spend $3 billion destroying their quality of life. Not once. He's never had the decency or the courage to do that. He has never met with the experts from the environmental organizations to discuss the road's true impacts and discuss the true alternatives to this highway. And there were alternatives. They were studied, and they actually performed better than this highway when it comes to shortening auto commutes and giving people alternatives to being stuck in their cars, burning gasoline, baking the planet, and wasting time.
Eminent domain was used to build the ICC?
Absolutely. There's a sub-agency that most people don't even know about. They thought it went out of business. It's called the State Roads Commission. And the State Roads Commission decides whether or not it's okay to take somebody's home for a highway. They're wholly appointed by the governor. They don't meet openly. They're chaired by the state highway administrator. So who thinks they got straight information about the impacts of the highway? Turn around for Governor O'Malley.
Governor O'Malley's car may be coming by.
Should be absolutely ashamed, Marty.
Thanks for being here.
It's pathetic. You're pathetic.
That was Governor Martin O'Malley.
He just doesn't care. He's got his little armored, blacked-out window SUVs here. It's really pathetic that he shows up in a Prius, bought with our state with our tax dollars. Followed by his little Secret Service in Chevy Suburbans, which kind of says it all. Suburbans out here in the middle, where he can trigger more sprawl.
Also from today's Washington Post, Greg Smith, O'Malley wants state employees and teachers to pay more. This is from a different article, page one of the Metro section. O'Malley wants state employees and teachers to pay more in pension and prescription drug costs to shore up the state's underfunded retirement system. Can you talk about the cost that's being spent here and the money that's not being invested elsewhere?
Well, there's a couple different kinds of costs. Look, he's taking more than $250 million out of the state general fund for this highway. $265 million out of state general fund. In 2008, instead, the law said he should take $50 million out. That's the ICC financing plan. Instead of taking $50 million in 2008, he took $85 million. He's furloughing workers. He's cutting positions. And he's taking $85 million out of the general fund for the Intercounty Connector while telling people, oh, we can't avoid these painful cuts.
I ran into Bobby.
He's completely disingenuous on these points. Now, let's look at the other costs. The money that's going to the ICC isn't going into public transit. It's not going into making Route 1 safer where there's pedestrian deaths every year. The money going to pay the tolls on these is coming out of people's pockets. They can't invest that money in their homes. They can't invest it in their children's education. They can't invest it in their health insurance or their health care. This is a complete waste of money, and it's a huge burden on Maryland's families to be paying for this highway.
Personally, talk about the last couple of years, your efforts, how hard you've worked to stop this day from happening.
Yeah, my greatest regret is we didn't raise our voices higher more often, and that we didn't block bulldozers. The only thing that might have stopped this highway would have been to run the kind of campaign that Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi would run, which is to shame these people and to make them look in the faces of the families whose homes they were destroying, and come out and confront them in that way.
Asthma. What would be some of the health consequences of having, was it 20,000 cars when this opens fully more?
No, it's actually on the western end. They're claiming that it'll be about 100,000 vehicles a day right through the hearts of communities. It's not just the air pollution. When you replace trees with a highway, you create what they call an urban heat island. So we'll get the combined impact of air pollution, noise, the urban heat island, and climate change all at the same time. And it's pretty well documented. The combined impacts of high heat and air pollution are lethal. It either puts people in the emergency room or it kills them. Heart attack, stroke, asthma, young children, the elderly, people with respiratory or cardiovascular disease or who are prone to stroke are in imminent peril from these kinds of air pollutants. We're talking about fine particles that penetrate the deepest parts of the lungs. We're talking about carcinogens. We're talking about neurotoxins. We're talking about endocrine disruptors. They disrupt fundamental biology, and they can cross the placenta, and they can affect the fetus in the womb. This is documented. There's a huge and growing body of scientific literature about these impacts.
Any final thoughts you want to share, Greg Smith, as the speeches begin to get underway on this gray, cold day, the ICC?
Well, I think we're going to hear the same garbage and spin that we've gotten for the last 7 to 10 years.
Thanks, Greg Smith.